I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
I was a Christian and attending church, and I believed that I loved the Lord. But there was a day I went to church, and the preacher spoke to me. He said, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my words, my commands, listen to my voice. Jesus really needs to know, how deep is your love?
Is your love? How deep is your love? He really needs to know that you're willing to surrender all of your life to his will and his commands. That's the least that you can do.
Greater love has no man than this, than a man should give his life for you. Listen, do you love the Lord like he loves you? Do you really wanna do his will? What will you do in return for his love? Will you yield and obey or just walk away? Jesus is asking you today, how deep is your love?
Is your love? How deep is your love? He really needs to know that you're willing to surrender all of your life to his will and his commands. That's the least that you can do.
One day Jesus turned to Peter and said, I wanna know if you really love me. Simon Peter turned to him and said,
oh my Lord, why do you even ask?
I just wanna know.
'Cause you know, dear Lord, how I love you. I will keep your commands and I'll feed your sheep. Jesus, he's asking you today.
How deep is your love?
Is asking you today,
how deep is your love?
Oh,
Amen. Shall we rise up and put our hands together for the Lord? Amen. As we welcome Apostle Joel.
You Let's pray before you sit down. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. And thank you for the blessedness of being in church. We pray, Lord, that you sing and your presence will be here with us. We pray especially for the help of the Holy Spirit in preaching, teaching, hearing and understanding and receiving the word of God. May we be inspired to do. May we be challenged and encouraged and strengthened, Lord. Help us to be more confident to go forth with the word of God and do the things we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we thank God for today. Amen. And as I mentioned to you last week, July is the month of evangelism. Amen. And it's a very important month in our calendar because it helps us to sort of right in the middle of the year, put things back in perspective. Amen. Because sometimes when you've been working for a while or you've been running for a while, you sort of lose or miss your purpose somehow. There are slight deviations which sometimes are so slight that you do not realize they're actually happening. Amen. So today I want to share with you why every Christian must be a soul winner.
Amen.
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 Every Christian must be a soul winner.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And why every Christian church must be a soul winning church.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we must not take it for granted that just because it's called a church, then it wins souls. You know, soul winning is not an automatic function in a church. It is something that can gradually be excluded in the activities of a church. Amen. See, the way a church is, or really, it's not just a church, but with any gathering of people, when human beings get together, you will find out that there are so many things that go with dealing with or working with people, you know, because people are complex. Amen. Not complex in a bad way, necessarily, but what I mean is that, you know, when you have a person, you have a lot of things to deal with. Do you understand? It's like maybe, you know, like buying a car. When you buy a car, you don't just have a ride, you know. But there's so many things. You've now introduced trips to the car wash place. You've introduced trips to gas station, oil changes for servicing. Tire rotations. You see, now, if somebody invited you and someone said, you know, I want to bless you with a gift. What is the gift? I want to bless you with tire rotations, services, gas stations, and so on. You'll probably say, you know something, I don't want this. Do you see what I'm saying? But if anyone offered you a car, I want to give you a gift. You say, the gift of a car. Oh, praise the Lord. What a blessing. You receive that. But I'm saying that in receiving the blessing of a car, you have received so many other things that go with it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, same thing with people. Anytime you're dealing with people or anytime people gather together, there are so many things that come with that. Amen. You can't just have a meeting or just gather with people without thinking about so many things. You know, so you see, once you get people together, then you realize, oh, you forgot to provide a bathroom. Because, you know, when people come together, one of the things they must have is a bathroom. You get it? Yeah. So when you're in town and you don't know where to use the bathroom, just find any place where people are expected to gather. The law requires them to have a bathroom. So like restaurants, any eating place, you know, there must be a bathroom there, you see. So that's how the church is. And as the church gets busier and as more and more people gather, so many people things come in that tend to crowd out the purpose of a church. Amen. And if you're not careful, the church will yield, because the people things are so strong in their influence and in their demand on the system that if you're not careful, you will actually yield to the pressure that comes with the people things. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So in Acts chapter 6, for example, Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, you see there, the Bible says that in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, you can see that the church is working, isn't it? The number of disciples are multiplying. The number of disciples here is multiplying in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Now we're going to arrange more chairs every Sunday. We're going to have more chairs. So if you see a lot of chairs, it's on purpose. Amen. Because we're making provision for the multiplication of the number of disciples. Amen. Now look at it. Now the number of disciples was multiplied, and there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, which means there were different nationalities. Amen. So expect to have a church that has people from different places. Amen. Can I have an amen? And if you must come to church expecting to accommodate someone from a different country, someone who speaks a different language from you, someone who eats differently from you. Does it make sense? Yeah. Right. So there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So now they were giving food to the widows and there was an issue, right? Then verse 2 says, and then the 12, the disciples, they called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason. Do you get it? It's not reason. It's whatever the problem is. It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Do you understand? So this is a strong effort by the 12 to resist the pressure to deviate from the purpose of the church. That one of the people issues that had arisen out of the growth of the church was now threatening to take over. And so these preachers were now going to be turned into table service. You know, they were going to be turned into serving food, wake up in the morning, start planning a menu, and start thinking, you know, what are they going to eat? Where are the tables? Are the tables arranged properly? Are they laid properly? Have the widows been taken care of? Now, how about the Grecians versus the Hebrews? Do we have enough food for the, you know? And all of these things that come to clutter up the real purpose of a church. And many churches have fallen victim to this. And today, when you go to church, you sometimes don't even recognize whether you're in a church or what place is this. It's just an assembly of believers, you know, to comfort each other or what. What exactly is going on here? The reason is that as people increase, you know, the people issues multiply. Amen. I'm saying the people issues multiply. Right. Hallelujah. Yes. You know, and then it starts to provide reason to do something else. And so these guys said, no, it is not reason. The widows are quarreling, it's true, but it is not reason to leave the word of God. Yeah. We're not going to stop preaching just to settle the quarrels of widows who have been left out of the daily ministration of food. This is just sharing food to people. Amen. So this is just an example of what can happen in a church. Amen. And as our church grows, we need to remind ourselves all the time of the purpose of the church and the reason why every Christian must be a soul winner and every church must be a soul winning church. Amen. Does it make sense so far? Right. So I want to give you a couple of reasons before we bring the service to a close today. Amen. Right. Number one, reason why soul winning is important and must be very high on the agenda of every Christian, anyone who thinks he's a Christian, is because Jesus Christ declared it to be the purpose of his coming, or the reason why he came. Jesus declared soul winning to be the purpose of his coming. Amen. Now, Luke chapter 19, there's a very interesting story. Maybe we can start from verse 1. Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. It says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Are you here? Okay, amen. You need to follow me very closely, okay? Now, he said, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Amen. Right, verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, because riches are not a substitute for the knowledge of God. Do you understand? Jesus is not just for poor people. Amen. Some people feel that so long as you're doing well, then you don't need to go to church. You don't need to go to God. In fact, some people feel that a lot of Africans like to go to church because Africans have many problems. Now, I was telling you the other day that whatever problem you have that makes you think about God is your greatest blessing. Do you understand? Yeah. So if you have anything that points you towards God, it's a blessing in your life. Amen. But God is not just for poor people. You see, there's this fly that has come to church today and he's disturbing me. Right. Okay. John Jack, keep an eye on that fly. Right. So he sought to see Jesus, who he was, even though he was rich. Amen. So in the day that you become rich, in the day that God promotes you, in the day that you finally have your own car, in the day that you have your own apartment, in the day that you own your own house, in the day that you get married, in the day that your goods increase, in the day that your bank balance adds an extra digit, you should not let it be a reason to stop seeking Jesus and who he is. Amen. He said he was rich, but he wanted to know Jesus. Hallelujah. And he could not for the press because he was of little stature. Right. Verse 4. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. See, because a lot of people also want to see Jesus so long as they don't have to do anything. They want to know God so long as they don't have even to get out of their bed and drive a car which is already owned and paid for, do you see, and go to church is a problem for them. But this guy was ready to climb up. You know, climb something. When you have to climb something, means it's not naturally in your path. Do you get it? You have to make an extra effort to go up on it. Hallelujah. So sometimes to meet God in a certain way, you have to make an extra effort. You have to do something extra. You go out of your way, drive to a place you don't normally go to. Do you see what I'm saying? So that you can see him. Amen. For he was to pass that way. Now, verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus came to the place and he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, hurry up, make haste, come down, right? For today I must abide at thy house. Hallelujah. I've got time for this. Jesus said, today I'm coming to your house. I'm staying at your house. I know I just met you, but I have time for you. I have time for this. Now, some people who were following him, you know, as you will see in the next verse or so, didn't understand how does Jesus suddenly have time for someone, you know, he's just met. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
So in verse 6, it says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Now verse 7, and when they saw it, they all murmured. You know, they all murmured. Now, a murmur is just a complaint that's not loud. You get it? The person is complaining. He's just not making it loud. Right? So he says, when they all murmured, saying that he was going to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. You know, their problem was that how can Jesus have so much time for a man that is a sinner? That's what they didn't get. But obviously they didn't know something, you know. So the story goes on and it says in the next verse, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Can you see that? Right. Now, verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day, today, is salvation come to this house. Salvation has come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. And then verse 10 is the verse you want. Now, the verse 10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, Jesus was making it very clear, you know, at that meeting, the purpose for which he came. Hallelujah. Now, when the person who came states his purpose, you must drop any other purpose that you have previously assigned to his coming. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, the best purpose or the best definition of the purpose for which Jesus came is what he said himself. The reason he gave himself, do you understand? The reason he himself gave to be the purpose for which he came is what we must work with.
Amen.
What do you think?
Yes.
Yeah. So you can tell from verse 7 that there are a lot of people in the procession following Jesus who don't know the purpose for which he came.
Wow.
Does it make sense? Yeah. Look at verse 7 again. Verse 7. Give us verse 7. And when they saw it, these are the people who were following him, right? So up to this point, these are the followers of Jesus. They were murmuring and saying that he was going to be the guest of a man that is a sinner. They were complaining that Jesus has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Obviously, they don't understand that Jesus is actually looking for sinners. So the going to this man's house is actually the achievement of his purpose and his goal. No wonder he said, I have time for this. So you see that a lot of Christians who do not have time for this obviously do not understand the reason why they are following Christ. Is it a fair assumption? Yeah, that they don't understand. They don't understand. That is why they are murmuring and complaining about the activity that leads to bringing and finding sinners. Are you getting it? Notice how Jesus said in verse 10 that he's not just come to save sinners. Because to save them, you have to seek, you have to go search for them. I mean, it's not like the sinners are just like some flowers by some wayside and you're just plucking them. And no, that you have to go and find sinners. Yeah. Do you understand? Yes. And the reason why Jesus was able to find a sinner is revealed. Go back up a bit. Go to like verse 6. Verse 5. You see? Verse 5. Okay, verse 4. Verse 4. Good. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now, the reason why many of us don't have access to sinners is because we don't pass that way. You get it? We don't pass places where sinners can be found. Does it make sense? Yeah. If you don't pass places where sinners can be found, you will not meet a sinner. So you see, many of us are too scared to pass the places where sinners pass. To go where the sinners go to is a problem for us. But you see, I can understand it also because sometimes when people go to the places where sinners go to, then they, the ones who came to find the sinners, are found by the sinners. Does it make sense? You are supposed to go there to seek and to save the lost. Then when you get there, the lost have found and saved you. Yeah. That's reverse evangelism. So then, if that is what is going to happen, then unfortunately we have to then try to hold back. Do you understand? Because we're trying to add. Do you see? We're trying to add. But if the process of adding results in a subtraction, then we'll just stay right where we are. Hallelujah. Amen. But you can see when Jesus entered Zacchaeus' house, you see who is changing. Wow. As Jesus has come into contact with the sinner, you see where the reaction is. Yeah. Do you understand? You see who is changing. The one who is being converted, the one who is changing is the sinner. It's the sinner who is trying to become like Christ. Not Christ changing into the sinner. Wow. Does it make sense? Yeah. So tell your neighbor, listen, you need to be serious. And you have to be strong. You have to be a strong Christian. Because this thing where every little exposure to sinners leads to you becoming a sinner, it's got to stop. Tell your neighbor, listen, the man says you have to be serious. Amen. Amen. Is it making sense to you? Yeah. Yes. You see, go to verse 7 again. Verse 7. It says, and when he's, or maybe verse 6. Verse 6. He says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Wow. Right? Verse 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was going to be the guest of a man that is a sinner. And these are people who are walking very closely with Jesus Christ, and they just don't get it. They don't understand his reason for coming. Do you see? And I tell you, there are a lot of church people, they don't understand the purpose of following Christ. They don't understand it. That is why they are not available or don't add themselves to the work of looking for and converting sinners. But they would be available for anything else. Do you understand? And look at it, that in verse 8, then the man is saying, when Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, now he's the one changing. Can you see? The man is changing. Yeah? He said, the half of my goods I give to the poor. I mean, that's a big change. That you meet someone and today he says his half of his good. That means he's slashing his bank account from $100,000 to $50,000. Do you see? Yeah. And then he says, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, you know, I restore him fourfold. So he's changing. Hallelujah. I see people changing when they encounter you. Amen. God is going to anoint you. People will change when you speak to them. I said people will change when they meet you. When you go by the way of sinners, they will change. We will not have fears that, hey, our sister has gone to such and such a place. We have to pray all night for her. No, no, no. You're going to come out with converts and people following you. Hallelujah. Amen. I restore him fourfold. Wow. And then verse 9, Jesus says that this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said, my presence here equals salvation for this man. As I've come here, salvation has come here. I'm not leaving this place. As I'm here, salvation has come. Yeah. What do you think? So you see, being afraid of sinners, being afraid of talking to someone who doesn't know the Lord and being scared of sinners is actually the reflective of the weakest form of Christianity. Do you understand? Yeah, it's the weakest form of Christianity that is afraid that this sinner rather will turn me into an unbeliever and make me like him. Rather, when they see you, say, salvation has come to this house. Amen. When they come near you, it means salvation has come near them. Amen. Yeah. And Jesus told some people in Luke chapter 10, he said, even when people, see, maybe I should show you that verse. Luke chapter 10, and it talks about Jesus sending 70 people to go and preach somewhere. And then he said to them that if people receive you, you know, be nice to them and flow with them and so on. Let me just get it. Luke chapter 10 and verse 6. Okay. If the Son of Peace is there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. Right? Now verse 8. It says, into whatsoever city ye enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Verse 10, but into whatsoever city ye enter and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, this is what I want you to see. Look at it. It says, notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Can you see that? He said, even for the people who don't receive you, he said, this is what you're supposed to say to them. That we are even wiping the dust, you know, the dust, what does it say? Even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth unto us, we do wipe off against you. Do you understand? Then he says, but don't make any mistake about this. He says, notwithstanding, be ye sure of this. Be sure of this, that our arrival into your city was the arrival of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when a believer comes next to an unbeliever, it is the arrival of the kingdom of God. No, I'm not making this up, Pastor Munene. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Can you see it there? Yes. Amma, can you see it? Jesus told the people, they didn't even receive you. The guys were not nice to you.
What a word.
Some of us are embarrassed about approaching people because of how it feels when you're rejected. But you are the one who has something. They are the ones losing something. They're the ones losing something. Yeah, not you. They should be embarrassed that the kingdom of God came right next to them and they said no to the kingdom of God. I mean, if you know what you're saying no to, you shouldn't be saying no to anything that has God attached to it. Yeah. What hope do you have if you say no to God? If the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is coming near you. God is coming close to you with all his power, with all his influence, with his healing. I mean, you don't know. It is when people are in trouble that you find what people know and think and believe about God. Yeah. One brother was on a plane recently and he was telling me how the plane was going through some serious turbulence. He said, come and see prayers. Yeah, he said, come and see prayers on the plane. He said, different people calling on God, different forms. Everybody was just praying in some way. Everybody was just praying, yeah. There's a moment of quietness before the prayer session starts. When the plane starts to shake a little bit. Yeah, you see that everybody plugs into God right there, but just silent. Then when the thing continues to shake, and continues to shake, yeah, because you are in this big box that is in the air with no wheels and it's flying and you know it's not a bird. No one should blame you for being afraid. You've got to call on something, at least the one who makes birds fly. Yeah, you must call on something. You have to. And so you see people start to shake. Look, deep, 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 deep in the hearts of people who appear not to care about God, there is a certain fear and reverence for God or a supreme being or a higher power, whatever they call him. Do you see what I'm saying? And so when God is coming near people, it is their blessing. If God chooses to come near people through you, it is their blessing. And you must not feel bad. If you hand out a tract to someone and they take it and they throw it away, it's their problem. They are revealing their ignorance. It's their ignorance that is on display, not yours. You shouldn't feel ashamed at all. It's the kingdom of God that has come near the person. That's why Jesus told the guy, today, salvation has come to your house. Yeah, as I've come here, it means salvation has come. So me changing to become like you is not an option at all. The only option here is you changing to become like me. Not me changing to become like you. No, at all. Salvation is not yielding to being an unbeliever. It's the other way around. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So Jesus talked to the man and he helped him. And so back to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, sorry. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save the that which was lost. So, if you are a follower of the Son of Man, then the purpose of the Son of Man ought to become your purpose.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That means anyone who claims to be a follower of the Son of Man, whose purpose is not to seek and save that which is lost, is not a true follower of the Son of Man. Is it fair? Is it a fair conclusion that there are many fake followers of the Son of Man? Yeah. And you see that a lot of people, Zacchaeus couldn't even come close to Jesus because of the number of people. So it was not a small crowd. It was a big crowd of people. And those were the same people who were complaining when Jesus was doing what he came to do. It means it's not by size. You see, it's not just the fact that it's big doesn't mean it knows its purpose. So it can be a huge church with thousands and thousands of people in it, but it doesn't mean it knows its purpose. The only true churches are the churches, and the only true followers of the Son of Man are the churches that are actively engaged in the work of seeking and saving that which is lost. Does it make sense? Yeah. Seeking, we go find them. Then we save them. Hallelujah. We go find them. We have to go look for sinners. We shouldn't be intimidated by sin. Yesterday we went on outreach in some place, and as we were around some people, you know, and I was asking the team, I was asking them, come close. And then one of the people shouted from the center, he said, "We don't bite." Because they probably felt we were trying to stay away because you know, they were not dressed like we were dressed and so on. And they felt like we were staying away. And the people, as I was telling our people, please come closer. Then one of them shouted out, said, "Look, we don't bite." Yeah. We don't have time for such things anymore. I mean, I want to challenge your Christianity today. That if you say you are a true follower of the Son of Man, then this is the mission statement of the Son of Man. Say, hey, look, in case you don't know what we are doing, this is what we are doing. Last time I got on a plane, the pilot just before he closed the door. No, I think they closed the door. And then he announced that, look, this is welcome to flight so-and-so from, I think I was going to Houston. And he said that, welcome to flight so-and-so from L.A. to Houston. Then he said, I'm just announcing it in case Houston is not your intended destination. Wow. That for the possibility that there is somebody on the plane who is not going where the pilot is going. That is the purpose for the scanning of boarding passes. Yeah, just to say that, look, we're going to Houston. If you come on board here, Houston is where you're going. Yeah. If you're going to any other, maybe you're going to New York or something, please, maybe the next plane, but not this one. Don't assume that just because it flies, it's going to New York. No, it's a mistake. Amen. So the pilot was doing the right thing. He said, look, this plane is for seeking and saving the lost. So if you're on board this plane, then your purpose and mission is to seek and to save that which is lost. That is it. You get it? Yeah. Not to come do anything else. That is the purpose of our church. And it's not just our church. I'm talking about a Christian purpose. This is the Son of Man and his purpose. It's not our thing. Rather, I'm worried that we're probably not doing enough of it. And I'm praying every day that God will forgive us and God will help us to do more of what he put us here for. Do you understand? Because we have more time for other things. We have more time for parties. We have more time for happiness. Come here Sundays, you know, dance, do different things and just be happy. But the work of seeking, you should ask yourself, how much of your Christian activities and Christian life, how much of it is spent doing what the Son of Man came to seek or came to do, which is to seek and save the lost? Yeah. And if it's 10% versus 90%, then you're giving your Christian ratio, which doesn't sound like a very good ratio. Say amen if you understand what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Tell someone, I'm a soul winner from today. Say, from today, I'm a soul winner. Yeah. A carrier of salvation. Do you understand? Yeah. Tell the person, I'm a carrier of the kingdom of God. Yes. People must change when they meet me. Yeah, not that I backslide because I've met people. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus had to pass by where the sinners were. If you don't pass by the places of sinners, you will not find sinners. Amen. You can see that Jesus was not passing by the synagogue or something like that. No, he didn't find Zacchaeus in the synagogue. You get it, yeah. Zacchaeus, I mean, if you're willing to walk by some tree or some place like that, you'll find Zacchaeus, yeah. But if you're just going to be confined to the synagogue from morning to evening, then you'll be there. You'll just be there by yourself. Hallelujah. Can I have another amen? So please, don't just join us in the synagogue. Amen. But come with us when we go out to the places, and it's going to be a blessing for you. Amen. All right. So have you got the first one? Let me see if I can give you a second one. Number two. Because Christ's plan for his followers is to make them fishers of men. Christ's plan for his followers is to make them fishers of men. Amen. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17 says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Amen. Amen. Follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Now, let's read the same story from Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 14. Mark chapter 1 from verse 14 says, now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me. Can you see that? Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Amen. Amen. And then it says, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Amen. Jesus said, come ye after me, come ye after me, Come ye after me. Come ye after me. Come ye after me. How many are trying to come after the Lord? Yeah. You're obviously not here to come after me. Isn't it? You're after Jesus. So he said, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. If you come and follow me, I will make you to become what? Fishers of men. Fishers of men. And so the next verse, 18, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Where do you think that following is leading? As they have forsaken their nets and they are following him, where do you think it is leading? To becoming fishers of men. Amen.
Amen.
When you don't know this, then you criticize a church that engages vigorously in soul winning. Because you don't understand that actually all following of Jesus here on earth has only one purpose. It leads to becoming fishers of men. Now, in the process of following him, you know, we will have different experiences and so on. Do you know that these guys, these two people in particular, in the course of following Jesus, they got to see miracles. Like when there was nothing to eat. They took a little boy's bread and they made it into a lot of food. But do you see that Jesus didn't say, come ye after me and I will make little boy's food into plenty food for you to eat. Yeah. So it is even a wrong advertisement for a church to say that, come ye after the Lord, he will solve your problems. Solving our problems, meeting our needs, answering our prayers, helping us with our little difficulties in life are things that come with following the Lord. But they are not the purpose for following the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, they are not the purpose for following the Lord. There is a greater purpose. It's like you have your car and you drive it to places and your purpose is to for it, this car to take you places. Now, as it's doing that, if one day you wake up and the tire is flat, what do? You fix it. Now, tell me that you bought the car because you wanted to be fixing the tire. You didn't get the car because you want to put air in the tire. So every morning you go outside, you put some air in the tire. You let out what is there and you put some more in. You let out what is there and you put some more in. These are all things that come with owning a car. But it's not the reason why we buy the car. We don't buy a car because we want to be washing it. We don't buy a car because we want to put air in the tires and we want to fix the brakes. Those are things we fix, you know, to keep the car healthy for the purpose for which we acquired it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And sometimes that's why people get rid of their cars, when that purpose seems to replace the main goal. Yes. That's why people get rid. Say, look, I didn't buy this car to become a mechanic. I'm studying to become a computer scientist. I need the car to take me to the computer science school. Now I'm becoming a mechanic. I know more about my car than I know about the computer science I'm studying. Something is wrong.
Changing careers.
I'm struggling to become what I'm paying fees for. And effortlessly, I'm becoming what I'm not paying fees for. So at that point, he said, no, this car must go. because it's not doing what I acquired it to do. And the time spent in working on it and making it capable of doing what I... It's too much. It's too much. Hallelujah. Does it make sense what I'm sharing with you? There is a purpose for following Christ. I mean, God is not confused about it. We should not be confused about it. It's so clear in the Bible. He said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. So the test of your following of Christ is you must ask yourself, how much of a fisher of men are you becoming? That should tell you who you are following, whether you are following Christ or not. So if you're not fishing for men, you're not involved in fishing for men, if you're not becoming a fisher of men, if your following of Christ through the years is not making you become progressively a fisher of men, check who you are following, first of all. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Check who you are following, because if it's not leading to the destination, you're probably on the wrong bus. You're not following Christ. Because if you were following Christ, by now, after some years of following him, you should become a fisher of men. You should have some men you can point to and say, I went to fish this person. I went to fish this person. I went to fish this person. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And fishing, you know, is a process. Fishing is different from going to the beach and collecting sea sand. It's not the same. Do you understand? It's a process. Sometimes you go fishing, you get nothing. These guys, when you read their story, you see the Bible said that Jesus came to them one time. They told the Lord, I toiled all night and I caught nothing. So it's not every fishing activity that comes back packed with. The net is not full of fish every time you throw it out. So there are so many experiences, I tell you. These people, so they saw that blind eyes open. They saw lame people walking. One of them, this Simon, at some point, one of his family members was sick. You know, Jesus prayed. She was healed. So many fantastic miracles they saw. But Jesus never said to them, follow me and I'll make you to see miracles. He never said that. Do you understand what I'm saying? These are all things that are on the way. They are side things. They should not be the motivators of our following. It should be experiences we have on the side. Do you understand? Yes. But they shouldn't be the driving force of our following. Amen. We must follow God to become fishers of men. Amen. Amen. The most important activity in this church is the work of going to look for people. Amen. That is the most important activity. Amen. It's the number one activity. Amen. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. So if you are a follower of Christ, then I want to announce to you today that Christ's expectation of you is that you will become a fisher of men. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
You will become what? A fisher. That means a finder of people. It means you have to go find people. It means you have to use strategies to trap people. That's how you catch fish. You don't just ride on a boat and be singing a nice song and inviting fish into your boat. You don't just get on a boat and you be riding on the water and playing some nice music, you know, and then just yeah, what's the song? Row, row, row your boat gently down this merrily, merrily. No, and then fish will just be jumping into your boat by no. That's not fishing. Fishing is throwing a net and someone finds himself in it who did not intend to be in it. Yeah. And then you draw on it and you pull it and you pull it and you pull. And the harder it is, the more effort. And when it's not coming, you call other people to help you. Yeah. Then there's fishing with a bait. By giving the fish something it likes. Yeah. And the fish comes to take what it likes. Because if you invite the fish, it won't come. If you see, stand by a river and you see a fish and you say, excuse me, fish. Excuse me, fish. How about on my plate this afternoon? No fish will mind you. Even worse is when you make a big sign and you put it on your boat and say, fish, welcome. You just make a big sign on your boat and you just be riding in the front and say, fish, welcome in this boat for a fantastic experience. Or you put a sign on your boat that says, we love fish. Or we treat fish well. No, 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 no. But this is what Jesus has called us to. Wow. Amen. Amen. So if we're going to have fish, we have to become a net. Amen. Do you understand? Amen. We have to become, when the fish enters, too bad. You're in. Are you getting it? Yes. We have to be good at providing the bait that makes a fish want to be in your boat. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's why we dance. Yesterday we were having private dances for people. Yeah. Because when we went to the park, we saw some people were on one side and another group of people, and we were trying to merge the two groups so we can have a one show for them. And then one of the guys on the other side, he told us, why do you want me to go over there before you pray for me? If you want to pray for me here, you can, but I'm not going over there. That's when we realized that, no, now we have to turn the thing into a private show. Yeah. So you start to go from person to person, and then we just give everybody their treat. You have to be flexible. You can't get in your boat and play, you know, some music, have a microphone, and then you make an announcement to the fish. I'm going from here to the back. You have 5 minutes to join my boat. If you don't join me, too bad for you. And then you start riding your boat. No, 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 no. If you're a fisherman, you have to operate on the fish's time. Not your time. Not your time. You have to operate on the fish's time. Yeah, that's why fishermen go. They don't just fish all day and all. No, no, no. They have specific times. Yeah. What is the time? When the full moon comes out, the fish is attracted to. Well, it looks like Elpak has some fishing experience. Yeah. It's a lay fisherman. Fisherwoman. They fish in the night, mostly. Yeah, because it's the cool of the day, isn't it? Yeah. So you get your boat and it's hot, 90 degrees. Even the fish will go deeper into the water because it gets too warm at the top. They will be boiling if they come to the top, which is exactly what they are avoiding. Hallelujah. Is it making sense? Oh, I think our time is up, right? All right. I'll give you one last one. One last one. Amen. The last one is. The last one is. That every believer has been given a ministry of reconciliation. Every believer has been given a ministry of reconciliation. Okay. So now this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Have you got that? Yeah. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become what? Isn't that a blessing? If any man be in Christ, when you come to Christ, says he's a new what? Creature. All things are passed away. Amen. You have to believe it. It's not you who is trying to make old things pass away. Christ says old things are passed away. Amen. Yeah. You should not try to show Christ how good a memory you have by continuing to hold on to old things. Do you understand? Old things are what? Passed away. Whoever you used to be, whatever you used to do, whatever you've done before, is old stuff, is passed away. All things are become what? New. Hallelujah. Yeah. Then it says in verse 18, all things are of God, and all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. Amen. You see, so it tells you, if God has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, then it means until Christ Jesus, you and God are not friends. It's not like you think it is. Amen. He says, he has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus and has given to us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is the reason why every church has to be a soul-winning church. Because God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. God has given us the job of making people friends with him. Amen. Amen. Who has that job? The pastors? Not the pastors. Says, if any man, start from verse 17, if any man be in Christ, are the pastors the only ones in Christ? If any man be in Christ, let me ask you, how many here today are in Christ? Raise up your right hand, let me see. Yes, any man be in Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, any man be in Christ. So, but it's talking about men. No, it's any man. It's a woman. It's a type of man. You have to understand. Yes, woman. You have to understand. It's a woman is a type of man. Yeah. Why do you have to let me explain everything? Yeah. So, if any man, whether it be a man or a woman, any man be in Christ, he is a new creator. Isn't it a new creature, isn't it? He's a new creature, right? Then he explains, old things are passed away. You have to accept that old things are passed away. So some of the things you used to do, you have to stop. You have to stop. And you can stop. Amen. You can stop the drugs. You can stop smoking stuff. You can stop all these things that are ruining your life. And you know that it is ruining your life. You can stop it. Amen. You can stop it. Amen. He said, all things are passed away. All things. You have a chance for a new life in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Then it says, and all things are of God. Verse 18, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. Amen. So it means you now have to fight those feelings of guilt. Do you understand? Where the devil keeps telling you, God doesn't like you. God doesn't want you. You cannot please God. God is against you. God is against this thing. You know, you are not like them. You know, sometimes people come to church and they hear voices. It's like different voices fighting the preaching, fighting, you know, what is good. As God is trying to lift you up, there seems to be some invisible force that seems to be pulling you down and trying to exclude you from the good things that are being said and being declared. But every such voice is drowned in Jesus' name. God has reconciled us to himself. Amen. There's no beast between you and God. Tell somebody there's no beast between me and God anymore. Yeah, there's no issue. Hallelujah. He has reconciled us to himself and has given to us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. He has given us what? The ministry of reconciliation. The work of reconciling people to him. We now have it. He's not only giving it to pastors. He's giving it to anyone who is in Christ. Anyone who is in Christ. Hallelujah. So you must become a soul winner. Amen. You must become a soul winner. Maybe the last one for today. Mark chapter 15 or 16 and verse 15. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. I wasn't going to share this one, but I think I should. Let me just add it. Mark chapter 16 from verse 15. So number four is because these are the last words of Jesus Christ, right? Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. The book of Mark is just about to end, right? Now, he says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Preach the gospel to who?
Every creature.
Every creature.
Yeah.
Everyone, isn't it? Everyone. Okay, now, verse 16. Out of every creature, you know, when we go and preach, out of every creature to whom we preach, we're going to have two outcomes. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's one group, right? Then there's group B. He that believeth not, he shall be damned. Can you see that? So we start with every creature. Then out of every creature, we're going to have two groups. Out of every creature, we are going to have creatures who believe, and then we're going to have creatures who don't believe. Creatures who believe shall be saved, and creatures who don't believe shall be damned, according to the Bible. Amen. Then the next verse, 17. Then we come to the creatures who believe. Okay? And it says, these signs shall follow the creatures who believe. Those who believe, these signs shall follow them. Right? In my name, they shall cast out devils. Can you see that? They shall speak with new tongues. Right? Verse next. And they shall pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Right? So what are these people doing that gives them access to all these works? Does it make sense? They're obviously going to do something.
Yeah.
What are they doing? He says, go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Every creature. Then when you preach to them, some will believe, some will not believe. Now, those who believe, when you take that group, these signs shall follow them. They are supposed to be casting out devils.
Yeah.
So the work of casting out devils is not just the job of a pastor.
Yeah.
It's the job of creatures who believe. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Everyone who believes, the Bible says they shall cast out devils. Do you understand? They will speak with new tongues. They'll be going out there. They'll be preaching to people. That is it that he's expecting. We are saved to go out there and save people. Amen. That is the work of a church. Otherwise, it really doesn't make much sense for the church to be here. Do you understand? Yes. And I don't blame it. People who say, you don't need to go to a church. You can be in your bed and pray. Yeah. So long as it's just about talking to God. But if you start to understand the broader purpose of a church, then you realize that we actually need to be together. It's like telling the military that you don't have to go together in the barracks. Every soldier should stay in his house. And just be there. We meet at the warfield. Does it make sense? There's a reason why the soldiers must come together. You know, they camp them together. Even soccer teams and so on, even basketball teams, when they're going to play games, as the battle is getting closer, they need to come together. You must bring them together. because we must assemble together, we must work together, we must sort of have the same mind, we must be trained for what we are doing, you know, and then we go to war. Otherwise, we tell every soldier, you know, what is the date for the fight with Iraq? He said, August 2nd. Okay, all soldiers meet in Iraq on August 2nd. Please don't forget to come with your guns. Just come with your guns and so on. We'll meet in Iraq. Here, ISIS has some action there. We're going to go fight them. And, you know, and then everybody just arrives. Please submit your itineraries, your flight times and so on, so that we can all just arrive and engage in the... Yeah. Or you can Uber to the battle. It's because they have very shallow understanding of the purpose of a church. But if you knew what the church is supposed to do, you will understand the need to come together. And then when we come together, what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be training each other, encouraging one another, sharpening one another, you know, developing one another for the battle. That is the purpose. Amen. Amen. Not to be looking at each other. What did they wear? Man, those shoes, man, looks like they're from Macy's. They must be on sale now. I know she can't afford that. No, it must be on sale. Or there must be some fake ones from China. See, Pastor Paul's new shoes. Man, no, he must have got it from eBay or something. Oh, Goodwill. Yeah. So when you go to a church and there's a lot of gossip and talking, this type of thing, the church is clueless. You know, and when people get together and their purpose is not placed in front of them, there's a lot of clueless talking. That's why when you go to a class before the professor comes, everybody's talking about something. Yeah, you rarely see people just quiet and just, no, everybody's just talking because the purpose is not declared. But as soon as the professor comes in and he starts to talk, then all focus is now on this. Everybody's sort of attention, sort of paying attention to what the person is now saying. So when the church is full of gossip and it's full of quarrels and fightings, and this group is against that group, and this group thinks they're not treated well by that group, you see, the church is starting to lose its purpose. And something else is trying to take over. And that's what the Acts chapter 6 people said, no, it's not reason. We are not going to do this. They said, we are not going to leave the word of God, which is the main thing, and start serving tables. We're not going to have more time for sharing food than for outreach. No. Something is wrong. The apostle said, you can find some people to take care of this, but we are not going to do that. Hallelujah. Let's join the apostles to say, we are not going to do it. Amen. We're not going to do it. We're going to give ourselves to the mission of our Savior. Jesus came to seek that which is lost. And we must also say that our purpose is to seek and save that which was lost. If we don't have time for sinners, we don't have time for anything else. Amen. We should not have time for anything else if we don't have time for sinners. We don't have time to go on outreach. We don't have time to talk to people. We don't have time, you know, and sometimes even the patience, because it takes people time to get to the place of salvation. The patience of leaving a hook and line in the water for a long time until the fish is convinced. Do you see? Because sometimes the fish saw it when it came. But a fish is trying to study the bait. You get it? Have patience until the fish is convinced and bites the bait. And then he can come to the Lord. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. How many are going to be fishers of men? Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Everybody close your eyes and let's pray. I want you to ask yourself today, am I a fisher of men? Am I a fisher of men? Thank you, Lord. I want you to pray, everybody, and say, Lord, please make me a fisher of men. I don't want to be a Christian who has missed his purpose. I don't want to be a Christian who has lost his true purpose. A Christian who is following I want to be a Christian who follows what Christ is following. I want to be a true follower of Christ. If Christ came to seek and save that which was lost, then the followers of Christ must be seeking and saving that which is lost. So pray and just talk to God and say, Lord, please, let me be counted among the fishers of men. I want to be counted among the soul winners and the seekers of lost souls. I want to be counted amongst that group in the name of Jesus. I want to be one of those in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ask the Lord to forgive you for not making time for soul winning. That you have time to attend parties, you have time to attend games, soccer games, baseball games, basketball games, and you don't have time to do what Jesus came to do. I want you to pray and say, Lord, that is changing from today. Changing from today. I want to have time for what you have time for. I want to be like Jesus. I want to have time for what Jesus has time for. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to be more like you, Jesus. I want to be Jesus, I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. Sing it one more time. I wanna be more like Jesus. I wanna be more like you. Jesus, I want to be more like. Sing it for the last time, everybody. Close your eyes, everybody, and sing and say, I want to be more like you, Jesus. I want to be more like you, Jesus. I want to be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. Now, as we close the service this afternoon, I want to give you an opportunity to come to Jesus, to give your life to Jesus, an opportunity to become a follower of Christ. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to give my life to you. I want to have a new beginning. Remember, Jesus told Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to your house. A rescue has come to you today. The kingdom of God has come near you today. This is your chance. This is your chance. God is throwing a lifeline out to you right now. And I want to give you that opportunity. I want you to take that opportunity. So if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to embrace a new beginning. I want to embrace a new life. I want to start over again. I want to start my life over again. I want to begin a new life today. God is calling you to a new life. Please raise your right hand if that is you. If you're watching on the internet, you can just pray with us. I want you to just stay right where you are, but just join us as we get ready to pray. You want to give your life to Jesus today. You want to give your life to Jesus. Just raise up your right hand. I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody here like that today? You want to give your life to Jesus? Right. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for dying for me.
I thank you for dying for me.
Say it with us, even if you're watching us online. Just say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I acknowledge I am a sinner.
I acknowledge I am a sinner.
And I need your help.
And I need your help.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Forgive my sins, Jesus.
Forgive my sins, Jesus.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash
me. Let your blood cleanse me.
Let your blood
cleanse me. Say, Lord Jesus. Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash me.
And let your blood cleanse me.
And let your blood cleanse me.
Say, from today.
From today.
I want to live for you.
I want to live for you.
I want to be a follower of Jesus.
I want to be a follower of Jesus.
I want to follow you, Jesus.
I want to follow you, Jesus.
Say, devil.
Devil.
You are not my master.
You are not my master.
You will not control my life. My life is not in your hands.
Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Savior.
Jesus is my Master.
I live for Jesus
from today,
day after day.
Thank you, Jesus,
for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you give Jesus a clap offering? Amen. Hallelujah. Now we want to have communion. We want to pray.
And our lives have just begun. In the Spirit we are young.
Father, we thank you for your blessing today. We thank you for the blessedness of salvation. Thank you for the opportunity to be saved. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to seek out we who were once lost, to find us and to bring us back to you. Thank you for sending Jesus to lay down his life, to shed his blood, to show us the true price of salvation. That if we are going to be people who will be used by God, if we are going to be used by God to be agents of salvation and to bring the kingdom of God near people, then we are going to have to lay down our lives. It's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us rest. It will cost us time. It'll have to be a sacrifice. We'll have to give up things that are precious to us, things we could hold on to in order to be agents of salvation, just like you did. I pray that today you will bless the communion, bless the bread, bless the wine, bless the laying down of our lives, Lord. Bless it. Let this communion today birth in us a new spirit of sacrifice, a new willingness to lay down things that are precious to us, to sacrifice, to go places, sacrifice our reputation, sacrifice how we feel, so that others can have the opportunity to experience salvation. This is communion today. This is the life of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that the power in this will enter our lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, open your thing, the top first, and take the bread. Take your bread and say with me, the body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
Say the body of Jesus Christ.
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 As you may eat the bread. You know, if you're watching us at home, you can also get some bread and a little wine or juice or anything you can find, even water if that's what you can find, and join us as we celebrate the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ.
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 And you may drink. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift up your hand for a blessing. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We pray for the anointing of a soul winner to be upon everyone today in the name of Jesus. We're going out of this place as soul winners. No more shall we walk past people and not care about them. No more shall we hide ourselves when it's time to go out on outreach and to go out and win souls and to find and seek people. We pray in the name of Jesus. Let that grace rest upon this church. Let this be a soul winning church. Until this place is full, until every chair is full, bring in people, souls after souls, one soul at a time. As we go out, oh God, to seek and search for souls in the name of Jesus. And as we do so, we know you will bless us. We know you will bless us. We wouldn't even have to ask for certain things, because those things will be added unto us. In the name of Jesus, turn us all into soul winners. That's what we want, Lord. That's what we want to be. More and more like Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. We want to be like Jesus, seeking and saving that which is lost. Bless your people, Lord, with this grace. That's the blessing we ask for today. We know we could be asking for so many things, but Lord, today all we ask for is the grace to be a soul winner. Deliver us from shyness. Yes, the shyness of approaching people with the gospel. Deliver us from the embarrassing feeling, oh God, as though we are doing something wrong by trying to share Christ with someone. That when we brought the kingdom of God near someone and they rejected it, it should have been that they would be the ones who would feel bad. But no, we are the ones who feel bad today. But deliver us from that deception in the name of Jesus. Deliver us from that deception in the name of Jesus. Oh God, and make us bold witnesses of Christ. Let us be people who share Christ boldly, that we are not afraid, we are not ashamed to talk about what we have experienced in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, that you will bless us with this grace in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to be a serious soul winner from today. Tell that person, I'm joining the soul winners. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated. I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul.